This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thank you. And also for the God bless you earlier, it is 9:09 and Mike Haas joins us now, voice of the Saints. But that's not all, because Mike also has a job at the Superdome. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Saw you at the media center. It was nice to touch base with you again, see you in person. Let's talk about, before we get to the Saints' new head coach, let's talk about the Super Bowl and the Superdome. And man, everything went off flawlessly, huh? Seems like.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful there, and the people I've talked to, you know, who weren't at the game, like, just tell me, what did it look like? How did it, you know, how did it come across? And they were like, it was beautiful. It popped. The logo colors really kind of, you know, how could they not shine through? But no, it was, you know, it's never flawless, but it was a huge, huge victory for the building, for the city. For the region. And, you know, whenever you are having a game, it is really, it's your audition for another game. How you do in 59 determines, in large part, what your options are down the road. And as we already know, it's not 5 years, it's not 6 years. They're longer now, but, you know, we put our best foot forward, and we're going to be in that mix forever, as far as I'm concerned, just because of so many things that we can do that other places can't.
I've been here a while. I'm not as old as you are, certainly. But,
Who is?
Yeah, that's, no, I'm just kidding. But I have been here a while, and I got to tell you, I don't think, as far as presentation, because, you know, you're there, you're taking care of your business, but I don't think the Dome's ever looked better on television. I don't think the city's ever looked better on television. I really don't.
It from top to bottom, I would agree.
The word you use, pop, center. That's a word that you use, popped in media, and that's exactly what happened. The city popped, both at night with the nighttime shots and the daytime shots and the coverage. I'm just proud to be from here, and I'm just proud of everything, the whole presentation.
Yeah, I agree. And if you think about the way things were, we had a little rain on Sunday, not really impactful. But if you think of the weather that we had before and after, I was like, we caught that one little window. It was warm. But remember, people were coming from Kansas City and Philly. Mm-hmm. They weren't complaining about our 75-degree weather. It was beautiful. And everything worked as it should. People got to travel. Convention Center. When you can walk from the Convention Center to the French Quarter to the Superdome, that's something you can't do in other cities, and that's what makes us such a great, you know, built to host.
So, and we're going to get to the Saints coach in a minute, but I got to know, what is a Dome like now? What happens? What do y'all do? What's it looking like? Is the field still down? Are you changing the field? What's coming up next?
We're getting ready for Mardi Gras, baby.
Mm-hmm.
we roll. The field is still down because they had to take all the light rigging down. But if you walked into any of the activated areas, Bunker Club clubs, it's, you know, it's not business as usual, but there's very little Super Bowl branding inside. Now, there's so much construction outside, the tents and the buildings and all that's coming down. It's not officially down, but what's today? Wednesday, by probably tomorrow or Thursday or Friday. But even the outside will look, pretty much back to normal. But it takes them 3 to 4 weeks to get it up and 3 to 4 days to get it down. So it's a pretty amazing process. But the field's still down. The glitter is still on the field. But other than that, the building is working itself back into shape, which is going to be Endymion. For the first, we had one Endymion in 22 because we had the Final Four. But other than that, it's been since 2019 or 2020 since we've had Endymion. So, man, we're looking forward to having that back.
Well, kudos. Everybody did a great job, and I got to believe the NFL was just thrilled with the way the dome looked and behaved. And, I know you got to reward new owners for building stadiums and so forth, but that building, as far as I'm concerned, that's like brand new. Thoughts?
Yep, it is. Very much so. The renovation acted exactly like we wanted. The efficiency of getting people in the building, up and down, the use of the exterior plaza as being in the building, Champion Square in the building, those types of activations just kind of opened up a building even more so than before. Then you had the wider concourses and the new sideline clubs. It was so cool. Now, not a lot of the people that were there, Philly and Kansas City, didn't have a recollection of what it used to be, but for those who did, it's really, really amazing.
All right, let's talk about the Saints coach. What to me is so interesting about this, it is like this is going back to turning a page before Sean Payton, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's he's proven, but it's a very similar path. He's been a coordinator 6 years. That's a long time. That's good. It's three different teams, most of it with Dallas, but, most recently with Philly were probably – his best. Always been a fairly strong running team. If you look at his 6 years of service, they've been in the top 10 running the football as far as yards are concerned, 10 times. As far as attempts are concerned, 3 times. In the top 10 as far as touchdowns are concerned, running the football, 3 times. So, they run the football. You got to have personnel to run the football. But that's kind of his philosophy. He wants to be a very physical football team. He wants to put pressure on the defense by tempo and by motion. And all that stuff is great if you are disciplined and know the plays, because tempo and motion makes everybody's got to, be perfect, or it's offsides, or it's illegal procedure, or it's a false start, something like that. So you've got to – but if you can do that – and he's, it's another fresh start. I feel like I said last night, that's enough of this new era, right? We had the new era post-Drew, new era post-Sean, new era with Dennis, new era with Rizzi, new era with Derek Carr. We've had our share of new eras. Let's have some victories and some stability for a while.
But this really is, Mike. I mean, Derek Carr and the rest of it, and I don't understand the Kubiak thing and Coach Rizzi being the interim coach. But this really goes back to, okay, we are really starting all over before Sean Payton, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And, when Sean came from Dallas in 06, it wasn't like people went, oh, thank God, we've got Sean Payton and Drew Brees, right? Sean was untested. It was his first time as a head coach. Drew was coming in with a banged-up shoulder, almost went to Miami. We didn't know what we had, right? And that's, I think, you get a guy who's going to be 36 when the season starts next year. His birthday's in July. He's been a coach essentially his whole life. His dad was his coach in high school in Prosser, Washington. So he was built. He knew as a young man after playing high school that in even college, and he had a strong college career, that he was going to, his life was going to be on the sidelines coaching football. And so, man, that's, and people will focus, well, last, we were the last team to get a guy. In 2 years, who cares? right? It's just show me what you can do on the field. And it does have that kind of, you know, fresh start Sean Payton kind of feeling.
I saw Doug Mouton last night reporting that when I don't know where he got it from, but when this guy showed up, Kellen Moore did on his recruiting trip, he brought a playbook with him with plays that he had designed. So go ahead.
Because he's a tape guy. I read an article that said if you don't like watching tape, you know, you're not going to be, you know, somebody that fits into his scheme, which is kind of, it goes back to that he wants to play fast and play books, and playing fast mean you know the play so well that you can play fast. If you kind of know the play, you aren't able to play fast. And in the NFL, if you can't play fast, you're beat before you do it. So, yeah, I think, you know, and that's one of his passions. You know, he wants to call the plays. He doesn't, you know, if you were just a head coach and you took that away from him, I don't think he would be, I think that would change the job if the GM or owner said, we want you to be the head coach, you're not calling the plays. I think that would impact whether he would have taken the job or not. It's what he loves to do. And, you know, you got to get the tools around him to call the plays he wants with the people he wants, and that might take a little time. They're still way over the cap. Cap's going to get better for the Saints in 26 and in 27. But I think that kind of attitude, walking around with a playbook, is something we'll see carry through OTAs, mini camp, and training camp.
What about other coaches? I know we hear about Nussmeier's dad. Depending on how you look at it. Garrett Nussmeier is the Tigers quarterback. Brad Nussmeier, I guess, is his dad, right? And we also hear
Doug Nussmeier,
that's right. And also we hear about this Staley guy being a defensive coordinator. Talk about that, if you will, Mike.
I don't know. You know, we'll find out a lot more tomorrow. Right? You're gonna go with who you know. And, you know, who he's been with, he's done a lot of time with Dallas, 1 year with the Chargers, and the last year with Philly. It's not going to be easy to bring a bunch of Philly coaches with you because of their situation. So I don't know, I'll find out a lot more tomorrow. I won't say he's behind in this realm because he is the last, because we had to wait till after the Super Bowl. But he has just as much as the Saints have been on his radar the last 2 weeks, he's been doing the same thing. One, deciding whether he wants a job. And if he does, you know, maybe it's agent to agent. Hey, X, would you be, you know, are you thinking about, would you come to New Orleans? So I don't think it's he's not going, all right, I'm the head coach. Who are my people? So I think we'll find out a lot more about them, you know, probably in the next 2 days.
Age is just a number. Pete Carroll's the oldest. I think he's 76. The Raiders hired him. I wanted no part of him. Can you imagine, Mike, personally, and this has nothing to do with Kellen Moore, this is just you. Can you imagine being the head coach of an NFL team when you were 36?
No.
No, me neither.
And I'm sure he's doing the same thing. And so the question then becomes, because he's so close, that he's talked about that, because, you know, in some cases he's not going to be, he may be got players older than him, he says you got to get to know the people in the room. Now that doesn't mean you got to be best friends, but you got to know them, and then you build the system around what you got. There's no, hey, tell me the Kellen Moore system. The system is, well, what players do I have? Because the system's going to be built around them. But yeah, it's hard to fathom being 36 years old, and it's not like, what I'm glad about in this situation is that I feel like we have, and this is not a negative, but that we've taken whoever the hot coordinator is from the Super Bowl or from that run, and he make him a head coach. He may be your offensive coordinator for 1 year. And the difference with Kellen is he's been an OC for 6 years. And so he's been more prepared for this job than some offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator who had this hot run in 1 year and becomes a head coach. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just like it better that he has been more in the trenches six times as an OC as opposed to one time who's just that really hot in 1 year.
Right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back talking to Mike Haas, and we'll talk to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Mike, of course, the voice of the Saints. Mike, somebody texted in about the banners and so forth, and I was seeing a lot of the stuff on Bourbon Street being thrown away. Do you guys, is any of that being sold, or is that proprietary stuff, or do you throw it away or what? Somebody's looking to buy banners that were hanging in the dome or canvases.
Most of them are they're the sticky kind. That when you take them off, they're of no use. They're like vinyls. Sticky vinyl.
I got you.
And they go onto the building so much so that they look like they've been, like they're part of the building, like they're painted on. Mm. So those just come down, and they're all the NFL. As far as the banners that would go on the fences, I'm not 100% sure that most of them are still up. So I don't know that I don't think there's any for sale or anything like that.
All right, thank you, Mike. We'll take a break, pick it up, we come back. Y'all got any questions about Kellen Moore of the Saints or anything, 504-260-1870. We'll continue our conversation with Mike Haas when we come back, 924, Tommy Tucker.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL 928, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Haas, voice of the Saints. Mike, what's your title with the Superdome? I don't know what that is. You know, at times like this and the way this morning's been going, I'll tell this story again because I love it and I think it's a good joke. Guy takes skydiving lessons and the instructor says, look, you jump out the plane, you pull a ripcord, and then if nothing happens, pull a second ripcord. The secondary chute will open and there'll be a truck waiting to take you back to the airport. So he pulls the first ripcord and nothing happens. Then he pulls the second ripcord and nothing happens. And as he's hurtling toward the ground at a high rate of speed, he says, if you're a frequent listener, say it with me. I'll bet that truck's not going to be there either. Let's try it again. Is Mike Haas there? Okay. All righty. Some of the texts that are coming in were coaches backing out of running, backing out of the running for the head job. It's hard to say. I don't know what was going on, what was not going on, who was looking for this, who was looking for not, who was looking for that. But I will say this, I think you can draw the conclusion or you can make a comparison to Sean Payton in that this was not the most attractive job in the world when Sean Payton came here, and that seemed to turn out pretty well. Mike Haas made that point before. Mike Haas, as I understand it, is back with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, good. I feel like Johnny Carson. Doc is here, Doc is not there. Let's talk about salary cap issues that the Saints are facing and Derek Carr. And is there any advantage to be gained by moving on from Derek Carr if the Saints were to decide to do that or if Kellen Moore were to decide to do something like that?
Well, I mean, there might be – the advantage would be how things might work out, but it is not going to be easy. I mean, financially, it would be an incredible burden. You have to – for me, Kellen Moore would have to come in and go, I am not playing with Derek Carr, and I just don't get that feeling. Mm-hmm. Next year is a different situation, so I feel like – first off, they're about the same age. They played each other in college. They know of each other, mm-hmm. kind of grew up – in the NFL together. Derek was playing. Kellum was not, played some in 2015 with Dallas. So I don't think that's in the cards. I think that Kellen Moore is coming in knowing he's got a veteran quarterback who he can kind of implant his system with and go with Derek Carr. I'm not saying that couldn't happen or won't happen. It would be a surprise to me. I think it's Kellen and Derek for the 2025 season.
I listen to you and Deuce every Sunday Saints game because I love to listen to y'all call a game. That's no secret. But how patient should Saints fans be? Because I saw somebody on TV yesterday, and I'm all for the Houdat Nation, but to say we're going to be in a playoffs next year, to say it's going to turn around very quickly, you got a new coach coming in, really out of Sean Payton's shadow. It is a fresh start. So how patient do you think fans need to be until they see a real difference on the field?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, first off, the cap situation is the cap, but we're so used to that, right? When you kick the can down the road, as long as the Saints have, at some point you're going to have to pay the piper. This year they're only about $52 million over the cap, and that's better than it's been in recent years. Kai Harley's a genius. But what it does is it limits you to what you can really do free agent. You may lose some players, you'll gain some. They have 9 picks in the draft, assuming the compensatory picks work out. That's the best they've had. They've got a top 10 pick. I mean, the draft this year to me is you've got to hit, those guys got to come in and they got to play. So I think you got to be patient, but the difference between 10-7 and 9-8 and 8-9 is a fraction. I was talking last night with Mike Atelier. So Philadelphia ran the ball. Nobody ran it better than they did as far as attempts. They were second in yards, second in touchdowns, and yards per attempt. This is one of the best running teams in the NFL. Yards per attempt, they were 5th in the NFL with 4.9 yards. The Saints were 14th in the NFL running the football, 4.4 yards an attempt. So a half a yard is the difference between being in the top 5 or the top 14. It is minute. So, and things got to go your way. You lose the Philly game last year, a game you should have won. You lose the Atlanta game the following week, a game you could have won and should have won. And you do that 2 or 3 times, and all of a sudden, 7-10 becomes 10-7. That's the NFL. So can this team, with its current framework, be a playoff contender? Yes, of course they can. So that being said, there needs to be some rebuilding. Everything has been a Band-Aid really since this team started pushing their chips to the middle to win it all. And I don't fault them at all. Mm-hmm. But the team they have with Drew in 20 and then Sean still in 21, you push everything to the middle. And you try to do what Tampa did with Tom Brady and get that Super Bowl. The Saints did that, got screwed in 2018, mm-hmm. you know, the season, the NFC Championship game. But so at some point you're going to have to do more of a rebuilding and less of a Band-Aid. And that may begin, you know, with when you got start getting, you know, 5 and 6 picks in the top 120 picks in the draft, which they've not had, and really get some impactful players. And you can pick anywhere you want. You want to pick defensive line, you want to pick wide receiver, you want to pick, you know, running back, offensive line. You get your choice at this point with that 9th pick, and really in your first 5 picks, that's where you need the impact. You've got to have your 3rd and 4th rounders be on the field and be impactful.
It's easy to say, to look back and say, well, should have this, maybe if not that. But when you got a quarterback like Drew Brees, you got to push all the chips in and you got to do what you can. And but for the no call, but for a playoff win here or there, a Minnesota miracle, who knows what would have happened, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so.
And the other thing, Mike, is who knows what happens with the Eagles if the Saints do beat them, given what was going on with Nick Sirianni and Philadelphia back then.
Right. They lose the week before to Atlanta in a game, I hate to say these terms, but it's a game they should have won. Mm-hmm. When you look at the probability, he was, you know, not so much Saquon Barkley for the drop, but Sirianni was on, you know, big-time hot seat. And then they're scoreless in the first 3 quarters in New Orleans, and then they hadn't, you know, they lose the following week to Tampa, and then they had an open week. And if there was ever a time for an early open week, it was Philly. And then if you look from that point on, they lost a game in Washington on the last second play by Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. If not for that, they went out from their bye week. And yet we never really talk about that, about a team that had the probability of being, you know, undefeated from week 5 on. That's how good they were the second half of the season, you know, post bye week, when they were, you know, in trouble. Sirianni was in trouble. If they lost that game in New Orleans, if they hadn't scored us kind of late too, and they lose, let's say, 13-3 after the Atlanta loss, and then they go to Tampa and lose again, that open week, I feel, would have been very different for Nick Sirianni.
I am very optimistic. Thank you, Mike Haas. We'll continue to watch the story and watch press conference tomorrow and everything else. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, right now, 9:37, 23 till 10, time for traffic on WWL. 9:44, 16 till 10. Today will always be the day that's remembered as the Saints' new head coach sharing the front page of the newspaper with Scrim, the runaway dog. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. Yeah, the second most important thing that happened yesterday, the Saints hired Kellen Moore, right?
Do you think Scrim will be at the press conference or not? If I were Kellen Moore, I would. I'd have him there just for good luck.
I mean, I think Scrim should have his own press conference, personally. I don't think he should be dragged down by the Saints at this point. Like,
his own
media empire.
Tell me about the hire, your thoughts on this, and I see some NFL, you know, experts, the talking heads on Twitter giving it a B and so forth. Your thoughts on who was out there, who was available, and what the Saints accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you can look at this and say, hey, they targeted Kellen Moore, they got Kellen Moore. You know, there's conversations to be had about whether, you know, they he was at the top of their list to begin with. What we can say, as a matter of fact, is, you know, he was high on their list throughout the process. He was among the first interviews they did. They were high on him. You know, I think it's pretty clear they wanted to get back to an offensive head coaching setup. You know, when we saw several offensive head coaches come in, you know, I think it'll be interesting. He's 36 years old. He's the youngest head coach in the NFL. But when you kind of break it down, it's interesting because you'll hear the word inexperienced thrown around a lot. If you look at it in terms of just years spent as an offensive coordinator, he's one of the more experienced coaches, first-time head coaches over the last several years. I mean, you've seen coaches hired with one. Liam Cohen had 1 year of offensive coordinator experience. Ben Johnson, 3 years of offensive coordinator experience. You know, Brian Schottenheimer is kind of weird because he's been a journeyman. He's got like 15. But, you know, Kellen Moore has been 6 years as an offensive coordinator for three teams. He understands how it works. He's got a lot of connections, and that'll help him build his staff. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. There's a lot of headwinds he's flying into, a lot of hurdles that this team is going to have to get over and figure out how to navigate. But, you know, I think it's a good start. That's where I'll leave it.
But I think what people need to remember is that anybody that took the job would be heading into those headwinds as well. And as far as the Saints' first choice, or the last hired, Dan Quinn was the last hired last year, right? And look what happened. I know he had Jaden Daniels. You can't factor that out. You can't always say because of this, because of that. But the last thing in the world I wanted was some kind of retread where, you know, it's like a Schottenheimer, no disrespect to him, but that kind of thing, or Pete Carroll. I'm glad the Saints are going in this direction, and whomever they got would have the same challenges whoever came in, because the situation is what it is. And, you know, another thing I'll add, Jeff, those of us with ex-wives know that that have been divorced know that maybe the first choice is not always, you know, the way it should have been. Let's talk about the deal in the NFL and the tendency in the NFL and why I think it's such a good thing to get an offensive-minded coach and a creative guy like the Saints head coach.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there's a reason that teams will tend toward offensive head coaches, and it's because if you're a defensive head coach and you have a great offense, your offensive coordinator is gone, right? Mm-hmm. If you're Todd Bowles and you hire the worst offensive coordinator in the NFL, you're firing him, you're hiring a new offensive coordinator. If you're Todd Bowles and you hire the best offensive coordinator in the NFL, he's getting poached for a head coaching job and you're hiring a new offensive coordinator anyway. It's a tough life to lead. Look at Dan Campbell, right? That's been a great team. They've had a great offense, great defense. Obviously, injuries notwithstanding, kind of fell apart on the end there. But both coordinators gone. And that's kind of the frustrating life you lead as a team being led by that setup. Now, your offensive coordinator is effectively Kellen Moore in this situation. He said he's going to call plays. So, you know, you're going to have an offensive coordinator in title, but he's not going to be someone that gets poached, most likely. Mm-hmm. Now, you do have to find someone to lead that defense, but I just think the Saints are a lot more comfortable trying to do that. They did it with Dennis Allen, but we saw in the years where they didn't have the defense figured out, things didn't work so well. Drew Brees was always Drew Brees. Sean Payton was always Sean Payton. But you still went 7-9 3 years in a row because you couldn't get the defense sorted out. So that's got to be priority one, in my opinion. Figure out the defense. A name that's been very popular is Brandon Staley. He was the head coach with the Chargers who hired Kellen Moore over there for 1 year. You know, people forget Brandon Staley was actually one of the top candidates for the Eagles job before they hired Nick Sirianni. He ended up taking the Chargers job instead, and the Eagles continued their search, ended up on Sirianni. So you wouldn't say that Sirianni was their first choice. That would make a lot of sense. But what people need to realize is, you know, if you decide to change up your defensive philosophy significantly the way that a Brandon Staley would, he's a guy who learned his defense under Vic Fangio, was with him with the Bears and the Broncos. That's what he brought to L.A. So you're talking about a 3-4 kind of zone match type scheme, assuming he doesn't change up a lot of what he does coming to New Orleans. And the Saints aren't built to run that way. So, you know, you're talking about, when we talk about these hurdles, one of those hurdles is going to be if you make a significant change to your scheme on defense, you're going to have to retool your roster around that. And this is not a team with a ton of cap space that can go out and just re-sign a bunch of players. They're going to have to do it through the draft. You're going to have to figure out what players on the roster can play new roles, right? You're going to need a nose tackle. You're going to need, you know, zone corners instead of man corners. So, you know, it can take time. Like, you might be 2 years down the road before you feel like you have the personnel in place to match what you want to do. And so I just think fans need to be prepared. Everyone's going to be really excited about Kellen Moore, and I think they should be. But, you know, this is going to be a slog, at least in year one, I think. I would be very surprised if this turns around and you go, you know, 10-7 or 12-5. You know, it could happen. But, you know, these rebuilds, there's a reason the Saints tried to push off a rebuild as long as they did, because they're not pretty.
Tell me about tough choices that have to be made and players that, maybe some longtime players that we may not see on the team next year.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because of the way the Saints manage the salary cap. We've talked a lot about this. You can't just cleanly move off of veteran players. You know, if you, for example, you say, hey, DeMario Davis, what if we traded DeMario Davis? It would actually cost you money for against the cap to trade DeMario Davis because his future cap hit would accelerate. Tyrann Mathieu would be about a zero. You know, it would come down to your dead cap hit would match your savings. So I don't think that there's a ton of moves you can make in that regard to just say, okay, send them out, and it'll make things easier. The big question is going to be Derek Carr. If you stick with Derek Carr, you can restructure that contract, and it gives you a lot more flexibility. If you decide to move off Derek Carr immediately, then your options are severely limited, and you are not able to rebuild that roster really through anything but the draft. So I think that's the decision you have to make this year, is would you rather clean up the cap at the quarterback position and figure things out down the line, or would you rather reset at the quarterback position and figure things out around him next year. And so that's going to come down to Kellen Moore, in my opinion. If he wants to work with Derek Carr, a guy he knows pretty well, he actually played against him in college. He's only 2 years older than Derek Carr. I think that makes your decisions for you. But, you know, I do think that we're kind of coming toward the end of a lot of these veteran players. You know, Cam Jordan still going to play this year, but, you know, what's that going to look like? You know, DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu are effectively going into the final years of their restructured contracts. So I would expect that those eras end pretty soon, and you're going to have to figure it out from there. But I don't think the roster is going to look significantly different other than, you know, some of these free agents. You know, Chase Young, he's a free agent. Peyton Turner is a free agent. Paulson Adebo is a free agent. The decisions on bringing those guys back. But I don't think a lot of these entrenched guys are going to go anywhere.
If you were to put a list of priorities, Kellen Moore coming in, what's at the top of his list? Sorting out the defense?
Yeah, first is defensive coordinator. Figure that out. Figure out what you want your scheme to be so you can make some decisions on the roster. Then I need to figure out what I want to do with Derek Carr. Those are my top two things. And because those decisions are going to impact everything else down the line. Then from there, you can figure out your offensive coordinator, your QB coach, you know, some of your position coaches. Then from there, I'd move to the offensive line and figure out whether I have the pieces I need or whether I have to go get something, whether I have to make something a priority. Left guard is a position that I'm not sure about. Right tackle, do you want to continue with Trevor Penning? And then you kind of go from there. But yeah, offense or defensive coordinator, priority one. And then who's my quarterback, priority two.
Patience. You need patience. Everything new takes patience. Not going to fall into place right away. But I'm like you, Jeff. I'm cautiously optimistic. I like the hire, and let's see what happens, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, the, you know, winning games would be nice. Having a kind of bounce back season, getting to the playoffs would be great. You need to see steps forward in a positive direction. You know, you need to hit the draft this year. If you can nail the draft and kind of set yourself with a nice little nest egg of quality young players, you got all these picks to make, then, you know, this thing can turn around quickly. That's been the biggest issue, in my opinion, that gets overlooked because of the way the cap has been structured and kind of fallen apart a little bit, is you haven't really hit on draft picks. And until you start hitting on draft picks again, it's not going to get any better because you're not going out in free agency and rebuilding this team. So that's the big thing for me.
And
you have the head coach, get the quarterback, hit the draft.
And we'll meet him tomorrow, correct? Press conference?
Yes, sir. 11:30 a.m. They're scheduled to have an introductory press conference at the team facility in Metairie.
I'm sure we'll carry it. Thank you, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, 9:55. Quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got for us when we come back on WWL. All right, 9:59. Newell Norman, you did an extraordinary job yesterday with the Second Harvest Food Bank, former board member. Y'all go to WWL.com. Listen to it. Please take the time and listen to it. Congratulations, my friend. Great job. What you got coming up today?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Got a great show. Flu has hit a 15-year high. We'll talk to Dr. David Jantz, Director of Medical Critical Care Services at UMC. We'll also talk to Ali Bustamante, Dr. Bustamante, UNO Professor, Department of Economics, about latest things going on with the Trump administration. GNO Inc. with Michael Heck as well.